I would ask you to turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark, very briefly. Gospel of Mark. I want to be sensitive to your time. Pastor, you said y'all wrap up at about 9 o'clock. just kidding. Mark chapter 14. I want to share with you a little bit about about something that happened in the life of Christ that I think we would all do well to pay special attention to, at least from time to time. You know, all of God's Word is important. All of it's inspired. And we can learn, we can be instructed from all of it. Praise the Lord. But there's a part that I want to draw your attention to this evening from Mark chapter 14. Beginning in verse 1, we read, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he, Jesus, sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Folks, the passage that we just read, that is taking place really in the last hours of Christ's ministry on earth. Okay? There's a lot happening right now, you know, around what's taking place here. There's a lot of activity. Right now, the chief priests and the scribes are gathered together. They're trying to figure out how they can take Christ by force, how they can kill him without causing a riot. Okay? In the verses that follow what we just read, Judas is going to leave the rest of the group, and Judas is going to go find the chief priests and strike his deal over the price of Jesus' head. Okay? Things are really heating up in the story of Jesus, in the narrative here, as we lead up to the crucifixion. And it's like all of a sudden, the brakes are hit. And our Lord interjects a simple act of service. An act of service that most who were there really thought was unnecessary, maybe even foolish. But our Lord thought it was very important. I want to draw your attention to the phrase in verse 8, "She hath done what she could." She did what she could with what she had. What did she have? She had a box of ointment of spikenard, perfume. Very precious, very expensive. Probably, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to say it would probably be the most valuable thing that she had, the most valuable possession she had access to. And she wanted to give that in an act of service to Jesus Christ, in an act of humility. That's what she had. You know, it's real easy, you know. Yeah, I'm a missionary, but I'm also human. Okay, I'm just a lot like y'all. And I can see myself struggling with what she decided to do. You know that? And, you know, it's so easy. We can sit back and we think, well, Lord, I would serve you, but I can serve you that much better if you give me a bigger house, you know, that could host preachers and missionaries and everything in. Or if you just give me a bigger car and I can take more people to church. Or if you just, you know, if you would just fatten up my bank account a little bit so I could give a little more in the offering plate. And we can sit back and we can think about what we would do if we had something that we don't. But the Lord doesn't ask us to do anything with what we don't have, does He? this woman did what she could with what she had. The fact is, all that we have, any of us, is given to us by God. We are stewards of it as gifts from Him. We all have something that we can give back to Him. When was the last time that you looked at the blessings that you have in life as something that you can give back to God? I tell you, there's one thing that we all have in common. There's one thing that one gift that each and every one of us has been given. And it's something that we probably treasure and guard more closely than probably anything else that we have, and that is your time. That's important to us, isn't it? How often do you find yourself throughout the course of the day putting something off because you don't have time? Each of us has 24 hours. How we spend that time is, you know, between you and God. But do you look at your time as something that already belongs to Him? This woman did what she could with what she had. This woman did what she could while she could. You know, she didn't wait for some time. She didn't wait for tomorrow. You know, how often, you know, that little word tomorrow robs us of so much blessing, doesn't it? Because it's, yeah, we know something needs to be done. I think I'll get it tomorrow. Some other time. Yeah, I can see, you know, put yourself in her shoes for a minute. Okay, she is in this house with, you know, is somebody else's house, belongs to Simon the leper. All these disciples and friends of Jesus are gathered together, they're eating. And she knows what she's about to do. She knows she's about to break this box of perfume over Christ's head in front of all these people. She's going to smell up the whole room. And all these people around, you know, yeah, there's got to be a better time, you know, when there's less people around or things aren't so busy. But she did what she could while she could. She didn't wait for that perfect moment, you know. You ever find yourself, you know, praying in terms of, Lord, I'll witness for you if you'll just give me that perfect moment. Give me that open door where I know that I can share your word. And when you get right down to it, as you pray that prayer, how often is it that you might as well be in the door section of your local hardware store because they're already there? They're there in the faces of your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, your friends. The doors are there. You know, as Paul prayed for a door of utterance, and that is a scriptural prayer, I challenge you to look at Paul's life, look at what Paul was doing, and consider the fact that every prisoner, that every guard that ever held Paul heard the gospel. You know, by the time he was done in Rome, everyone in Caesar's household had heard the gospel. Paul knocked on, Paul exhausted every door that he came across and was still so burdened for the lost souls of men that even having exhausted every opportunity, still prayed, Lord, give me more doors. More opportunity. Look around you in your life. You know, the fact is, she acted immediately. She had no way of knowing that tomorrow would not be an option. She had no way of knowing that what she was actually doing was anointing his body for burial. She couldn't have known that. But that's what she did. She acted while she could. Look around you in your life, your family, your friends, your co-workers, your peers. Do you know how close they are to eternity or where they will spend it? She did what she could, finally, regardless of critics. Remember that part of the story? There were some that had indignation within themselves. They were mad. Why was this waste of the ointment made? This could have been sold. It could have been given to the poor. I mean, really, why is she doing this? they were filled with indignation. Who were these people that were so filled with indignation at the sacrifice that this woman gave? Was it the chief priests, the scribes, Pharisees? No. No, they weren't at this gathering. These were the disciples and friends of Jesus that were so filled with indignation at the waste that this woman made. The fact of the matter is, if you're going to do anything for Christ, you're going to run into critics. You're going to run into people who don't understand what you're doing. You're going to run into people who don't like what you're doing. And you just still have to remember the fact of whom you serve. And is he worth putting up with the criticism? You know, there are people that probably don't understand why you're sitting here tonight. You know that? There are people that don't understand why I'm taking my wife and three daughters across the ocean to Wales to preach the gospel. Some of those people are good Christian praying people. But the fact of the matter is, we serve a risen Savior. And in light of what he's done for us, as Paul puts it, I like how Paul puts it, it is our reasonable service, to say the least. This woman felt that Christ was worth whatever the cost of service to him, time, possessions, even her dignity, she would give her best. It's amazing how cost takes a back seat to love and devotion, isn't it? You know, a lot of you guys, you know, there was a time when you found that perfect someone, that woman you wanted to spend the rest of your life with, and you knew what you had to do. You scrimped, you saved, you pulled together a penny you could, and you went out and bought a little ring with a rock on it. Didn't you? And you bought that ring, and you know, it. Could you have used that money for something else? Well, yeah. You could have souped up the stereo in your car. Yeah, you could have gotten a new paint job done on it. You could have paid your college bill. You could have done all kinds of other things with that money. But none of those other things mattered as much as she did. You know, parents, there's not much we won't give for our kids, is there? You know, we'll set aside the car we'd like to drive so they can go to college. We'll set aside the vacation we'd like to take, which, you know, if you're anything like me, consists of sitting in a cabin in the woods somewhere for 2 weeks without your cell phone. You know, we'll set aside the vacation that you want to take for an opportunity for your kids. You know, either to go on a mission trip or do something that's just really important to them. Cost takes a back seat to devotion in so many areas of our life. And Pastor, if I can have just a couple more minutes, I'd like to share with you something from Welsh culture that illustrates this point, and then I'll close. There was a day in Wales where guys, when you found that perfect someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with, you didn't just run out to the jewelry store and buy a ring. It wasn't that easy. You had to do something else to demonstrate your love for that special someone. So what you would have done, you would have went out and found yourself a block of wood. A block of wood. And girls, before you feel too sorry for the girls of that day, there's more to it than that. You would take that block of wood and you would carve out of that block of wood a spoon. And we're not just talking any old spoon that you're just going to stick in the utensil drawer and eat from at the next meal. We're talking about a very special spoon. It would be called a love spoon. And you would carve in the handle of that spoon symbols of your love for that special someone. Maybe you would carve in that spoon a heart to tell her that she held your heart. Or a key in a lock to say that, you know, she held the key to your heart. Or an anchor to speak of steadfast love. Or any number of other symbols to describe your love and your commitment to her. And then once you had that spoon, once you had labored over that spoon, taking your time, your inner energy, your resources, maybe even your blood if you're anything like me with woodworking, all that you've invested, then you would come to her and present her with that spoon. Ask her to marry you. Now, lady, what would mean more to you, do you think? A little ring with a rock that anybody can go out and buy at a jewelry store? Or a very special gift that had been hand-carved painstakingly with symbols of your partner's love? You're thinking spoon? Guys, remember that. But it doesn't mean as much unless you're carving it by hand. But the fact is, that girl was worth his time because it didn't come quickly. His resources, he had to keep a sharp knife. He had to obtain that block of wood somewhere. Even his blood, perhaps. But she was worth it. I ask you this question in closing this evening. Considering what Jesus Christ gave so that you could have eternal life, what is your Savior worth to you tonight?